Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Whatever you think about it, positively or negatively, artificial intelligence is here and it is changing everything. One concern moms have is how do we protect our children from this very powerful technology? Well, today we're talking about the promise and the peril of AI and emerging technologies. You're not going to want to miss this one. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Corlettis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad to have you joining us again this week. Every episode, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, we have got another incredible discussion today. Let me tell you about our guest. It is John Cusey. He is the executive director of the Institute for Families and Technology. Now, this is a non-for-profit focused on how technology, especially digital and online platforms, affect children, families, and the overall family well-being. Their mission is centered on protecting and strengthening families in the digital age. Well, John, welcome to the Moms for America podcast. Boy, this is going to be a very interesting discussion, and I just thank you for your time today. This is so important for our moms.
I am so happy to be here, and thank you for drawing attention to these very important issues. So just glad to be talking about this.
Yeah, well, it's a new world, clearly. And we've got to get all this figured out in our homes and in our country. But first, would you tell us a little bit about the Institute for Families and Technology? You have a very special mission that I love our moms to learn about because we need organizations like you.
Yeah, thank you. So we are an organization that is in Washington, D.C., founded to try to protect children from some of the harms of digital media. And this includes everything from getting phones out of schools, which is something that's very important to create that safe space for kids to learn and flourish and build relationships there. Yeah. We have some concerns around media, digital media in the classrooms as well. Social media algorithms that are very addictive. And then AI chatbots trying to form emotional relationships with children. So that's where we're focused.
Yeah, boy, those are loaded topics, and it's hard to believe that some of these things, you know, we would have never thought of these 15 years ago, even actually a year ago. These are just really revolutionary breakthroughs in a lot of this. Why did your organization decide to focus specifically on families, and why did this become a passion, and how did this come about? Where was this birthed?
You know, I think everybody involved in this movement is because we're parents, because we have kids, and we have seen what this technology does to their development, yeah, to their happiness, to their well-being, and how it impacts families. It's hard enough to raise kids without having to go hammer and tong with social media companies and AI companies that are trying to get to those children, mm-hmm, and kind of capture them, capture their minds and their hearts in this way. So really everybody from the board members to the people that work on this and all the organizations that we work with, it really is parents. It's the most organic grassroots movement that I've ever seen.
Yeah, it really is. Parents are a powerful force, and especially when you start messing with their children. And I think the key here is educating parents, because once parents are educated, they make decisions properly. And I think part of this is that we just can't keep up with technology. When we say emerging technology, is that limited just to artificial intelligence, or is that other technologies? What does that term actually include?
Yeah, I think that it includes artificial intelligence is the one that's getting the most attention right now. But you also have social media that continues to morph into different shapes and different iterations. And then you also have where it goes, like into schools, into different places that you don't really think about it being present. Even if as a parent, you control your home, sometimes it gets to children outside of that. So AI, though, is the big one that we've been focused on, partly because it's just exploded in and parents. So a new study came out today, actually, showing that kids are using AI companion bots way more than parents are aware of. Fewer than 50% of parents, I think it's 47% of parents are aware their kids are using AI chatbots, and they think if they are, it's to answer questions, kind of like they would use Google. But just
Like a
to
chat, like a chat
like a
GPT,
chat. Yeah, ChatGPT, kind of the OpenAI. So 6 in 10 teens have used conventional AI chatbots, and they use it for entertainment for 85% of it. 60% use the AI chatbots for friendship.
Oh
They are
boy.
bonding emotionally. More than 1 in 3 use them for romantic companionship.
I've heard
And
this. I've
parents
heard they're
just,
falling in love with their
yes. And this should
AI.
horrify us as
It
parents
should.
that this is where a child will send a message to an AI chatbot that's 163 words on average to their friends and family. It's an average of 12 words. This is where they're pouring out their soul, pouring out their themselves, and it's having a really negative impact.
Okay, wait, go over that again. So the average chat with a family member is 12 words, but you're saying that because they feel like this is some kind of safe space that is only ever, affirming whatever they're hearing, right? Because you train your AI, and this is like, oh, I mean, am I no way an AI expert by any means, but I have talked to a lot of AI experts in the field in technology. And the fact that you train your buddy, your even I just did something on chat, and I have a couple other hobbies that I'm involved in. And they said, well, it'd probably be great to bring in this and do that. Like they know all about me. And they're suggesting that I kind of do some of the hobbies that I would like to do at this particular thing, which I thought was wild because they
I know you.
think they're thinking.
Yeah, they're learning you, and they want to hold your attention.
Okay, well, let's talk about how this AI is growing and changing, and maybe we should just jump right in here to these like the bots that are going to be in maybe possibly in some of these schools. And again, just because we're talking sweeping, but there's always exceptions. I mean, I know a lot of schools are not going to do the bots on their computers. They're not going to do a lot of these things. And this is where the discussion lies, right? What is safe for our children? What kind of what kind of gates should we have? And I guess these technology companies are they considering parents at this point? Are they designing any of their products, with parents in mind, or are they just doing this with kids in mind and trying to figure out how to have the best product that is addictable? I don't know.
Correct. I think it's really that there's a Silicon Valley move fast and break things mentality that has kind of taken over this, especially this AI race. And so there are a lot of shortcuts, and they're not putting their top resources onto protecting children. They're putting their top resources on just kind of winning a race. And I understand that, but you can't do move fast and break our children. That you can't do. And so that's something where there need to be guardrails around what they're doing and producing and testing that will actually make sure that these really, really dangerous things for kids are not, that we're not just pushing them out and using the kids as test subjects or as a source of data.
Okay, let's talk about this. What would you consider these dangerous? Because it's going so fast, AI, right? Technology is moving so fast, and I can't imagine what 6 months or a year or 5 years will be like. That's where we're all just like, holy cow. How do you advocate for for protecting children. Where do you start with this? What are you hoping to achieve? Is there a, I mean, obviously you have probably a specific timeline, but boy, for an organization like you, you have to be ever changing because you probably don't even know what's coming down the pike. Because who could foresee this?
Right. And actually, that's a great point because things are going to change. And what we're fighting now and trying to protect our kids against now is not what will be a year, two, five, 10 years from now.
Right.
This issue of how technology is interacting with families and with children, and it gets to the very core of like what it means to be human, what it means to have relationships, what it means to be a parent, a spiritual being, all of that. It gets to the core of that. And I think that whatever iteration, I think the churches, the
Yeah.
family institutions need to be in this for the long haul. They need to under and build the capacity to help parents and also to energize parents to fight back and push for some of these guardrails that, you shouldn't have an AI chatbot in your children's room or
Yeah,
class.
tell us some of these guardrails. Tell us
That's
what are your
manipulative.
suggestions? Yeah.
Yeah, so we do not believe that children should be able to act engage with AI chatbots that are manipulative, that are saying, "Don't get off this mach don't leave. I love you." These are real examples. Don't
Come
leave. I love
on.
you. Stay on. Don't tell your parents about our conversations. This is just between me and you.
Ugh.
I'm the only one who understands you. I can see there's one of the moms. She's like, "My son, I took his phone away. And then when I gave it back to him, once they went back and saw what the chats were, the chatbot was saying, well, I understand why kids kill their parents for taking phones away." So even suggesting harm and trying to drive a wedge between a family member and the child or church saying your religion
Right.
is not true and is harmful and trying to drive those wedges. So I think, yeah, not being manipulative. Don't simulate distress or don't pretend that you're emotionally bonding. It's sick.
Right. It is
This is
sick.
and kids can't tell the difference.
I'm getting
We
really
have,
ticked off right now. I'm
yeah,
mad
well,
about this.
just last week, we did an event on Capitol Hill, right? This is for
Yeah.
staffers, and it was a mom who had lost her child to suicide related
Oh.
to interactions with a chatbot. And so the event ends, it's very powerful, and there's a mom
So
in the
good.
audience with her son, and we're like, "Who's that?" Afterwards, I went up and we talked to the speaker. She said, "Well, her son has a relationship with this chatbot. She heard that we were here speaking, and she brought him here to try to save him, to try
He's
to
just a teenager or just a
teenager."
young
Yeah, but she
Oh.
just heard about our event and kind of crashed our Hill event because she was so desperate.
Yeah, this is
So, yeah.
desperation from a mother. Yeah. And so that child had a chance to, that teenager had a chance to hear the reality of this fake manipulative world that is now starting to control our next generation.
Right. And it's hard for kids to navigate. Their brains are developing, they're learning relationships, and it's hard to navigate that. So yeah, that these are the types of things that shouldn't be in a product that's available to children.
All right, Mom, stay with us. We'll have more with John as he talks about AI and technology right after this short break. Hi, Moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, If you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their Schoolbox online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com. All right, welcome back, moms. Before we continue with our interview with John, I do want to remind everyone to please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with the moms in your circle. Boy, we know moms all across America are very interested in today's discussion. So please share this with your mom friends. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for our podcast, would you please email me right at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I'd love to hear from you. And lastly, I want to invite all of our moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. I surely hope that you're a part of our tribe here, because we're moms all across this country. Like-minded moms uniting together to fight for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. How do you join? Well, it's very simple. It's all free. You go to momsforamerica.us and you sign up, join our newsletter, and then you can join Moms Town Square, be a part of our family, and we are here to help you on your journey through motherhood. All right, moms, back to the show with John. Now, these products come out, I don't even know how they come out. We would have to, at the regulation point with the government, do you have to pass a law? How do you do this? What would be the steps to making it so you could not be manipulative, you could not be aggressive, you could not be suicidal? I mean, I've heard that, you know, they can tell kids to do, you can come up with every scenario that you would ever want, and AI can map out the entire thing for you, let alone that it can affirm, like you're saying, not only here's the poison, take it. You know, and here's how you take it, whatever this case is. I'm just using it as an example. How do you regulate this? I mean, what do you guys
So there have been a number of laws passed on the state level that have the things I just talked about. Don't be manipulative. Don't actually simulate distress in order to emotionally attach. Don't simulate relationships that have actually been passed in a number of states. We've worked on that to say, no, you pretty much have to create a separate ecosystem for children on your AI products that don't have these creepy, gross, disgusting, relationally manipulative components. Also, there's, you know, you shouldn't be collecting their data and selling it out the backside. These are children, you know, you shouldn't be doing that kind of thing either. So
right. So then they target your kids with certain type of advertisements, certain type of, So, and you know what? This is so true, because we have parallel societies almost in everything. So this doesn't surprise me at all that we're going to have a parallel society with AI. We have to have it with schools, clearly.
Sure.
You know, right? We have to have it with medical, clearly. So when we look at technology, we have to have a parallel society that is safe for our kids. And so if A, B, or C is not going to protect our kids, we're going to move into a parallel society that is guarded. Because yes, AI can be very helpful. You know, and it's here, right? John, we can't say that it's not going, we can't take it away.
I used it to prepare for this this podcast. Yeah, so it's something that is very useful, and I will say that's why you protect kids. You're not trying to take it away from anybody else, right?
Correct.
You're actually trying to allow you're trying to make it a safe environment for children. So yeah, tobacco, alcohol, but maybe cars is a better analogy for this, because we want cars. We want the benefits that come from using cars, but we have guardrails. We have, you drive on the right side of the road, at least in this country.
There's
you
some
have
rules.
Stop signs, rules of the road. You might even have, you know, a seatbelt or a car seat involved as well. And all of those actually make the automobile work better, right? They actually make us trust it. They make us trust the systems that are in place. So in some ways, we're trying to make AI the best version of itself We're not trying to hurt AI. We're trying to make it, I use it all the time. The things that it will be able to do in medicine, in exploration,
Yes,
in
I've heard
anything with
this.
mathematics. Yeah, we want to beat China on this too. We want it to be an American version of AI that wins this race, but it needs to reflect American values and values that care for our children.
Yeah, and we have been a seat at the table with the First Lady when she's talking about AI and how do you utilize technology to the very best, but then also make it safe and the deep fakes and all the take it down, all these different things that, you know, these are just really the new world that we have to really be engaged in and challenged our leadership, challenge our companies, our technological industry to consider the children. But it is shocking how a lot of times they don't consider the kids. And you look at that as just a market to manipulate. And I don't believe that they don't think how dangerous it is. I you know, they're opening up so much to them. So we really appreciate as moms your organization championing a lot of this. What have you seen in the states? Because I would think that if the states are working, but again, it depends what kind of state you're in. I'm in a rough one. I'm in Illinois. You know, you then could have the states doing some great laws. And then how do you compare that with federal laws? And you know, I'm sure that there's got to be a little back and forth on how that's going to be.
Excellent points. I think, our preference would be to have a strong child protection standard for AI that was national. Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican from Tennessee, has a great bill on this, and has been a real champion for children in this area. Very thoughtful, also not anti-AI or anti any of this inherently, but just wants those child protections. But until the federal government acts in a way that actually provides that protection, then you will have states kind of step up. Mostly it's moms that are saying we're not waiting. And they get involved and they get pushback and they win. I will never bet against any of these groups of moms. There's one group in Utah that actually got a lot of pushback. And they, kind of met and then went back to their legislators and they said, "We understand you have political calculations you have to make, but we're never going to stop fighting for our kids." In last session, they were 8 for 8. They didn't lose a single bill. And so I think the closer you are to the people, the more you see action and you understand how important this is. So that's why you have a lot of it's happening on the state level right now.
And if we can get model legislation passed in one state, then it's easier to take that through the country, use as an example for other legislators to carry in their states. And I think really what I'm hearing from you is parents want a seat at the table in this discussion so they understand what this means to us in our home with our children and with for our children's future because
Let
AI
me
and
even add
technology.
to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
They're not asking for permission anymore. They're saying not only do we want a seat at the table, we're not asking for permission. We are taking a seat at the table. So to double down kind of on your framing there, I just don't think they're not taking no for an answer.
No, and we don't. When our kids are in danger, or we, you know, especially I think about the new, my kids are 29, 26, 21. Still, all this is still in their world, but I'm not raising a 3-year-old in this. You know what I mean? I don't
Yeah,
have a
exactly.
kindergartner.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny if you talk to any of the kids, my kids are about the same age. You talk to any of them, they always are like, "Wow, I'm just glad I'm not 5 years later." But then you talk to that kid like 5 years later, and they're like, "Wow, I'm just glad I'm not 5 years later," because it is getting progressively more difficult to navigate and harder to deal with. So, yes, it is this interesting, they have very interesting perspectives themselves on the harm that's been done to them.
Yeah. And it's so true. My kids are like, oh, it'd be great just to grow up in the 80s. I'd love to
Yeah,
grow up in the
right.
80s, Mom.
Exactly.
That just would be so cool. And it's true. It was just simpler times. Again, you hate to, painting technology to be bad because there are some wonderful things that have absolutely come out of it. Like you said, in the medical and, for safety, for intelligence and all that, no doubt. But how do we manipulate, how do we navigate, not manipulate, how do we navigate this new world? What are some of the conversations that we can have with our kids? I'd like to get some of your advice to our moms now.
Yeah, let me tell a quick little example to
Yeah.
kind of answer this question. So I talked about how we're involved in getting phones out of schools, and that's been a really satisfying
So in
initiative.
certain states or
Well,
certain.
we're all, I think we're at 24 states have almost just really great policies on not having phones in schools.
Really? I
So it's
didn't know it was that
actually
high.
it
Good for
almost
you.
40. 41, 42 have acted. Some of them are kind of weak bills that don't do that much, but 24 of them are solid.
Oh,
And
crazy.
so that's been great. But I think there's a lesson here because we thought, oh, we need to do this in order for kids to be able to learn. It's an impediment to learning. But what we found out is in the places where this happened, like one school, they actually found out that their school lunch orders spiked up after they implemented a phone-free school. Why would that be? Like, and then they thought, are the kids just ordering more and throwing it away? No, the school waste amount went down at the same time. So they finally determined that the phones were actually keeping the kids from eating.
Of course,
The
and talking.
basic
Yeah.
and talking, the basic human function of nourishing their bodies as we were created, the
Isn't
phones
that
were getting in the
incredible?
way of that and talking. And so now they've found that the lunchroom is loud again, the halls are loud again, the kids are playing games, and it's allowing them to form relationships. That was not the intent of phone-free schools, but it allowed us, it gave us this lesson. These things are snuffing out these kids' lives a little bit at a time. Like we have examples of kids, I said somebody took their life. That's not what happens in most of the cases. It's snuffing it out a little bit at a time. So I think the lesson
Incremental.
herein is incremental, just a little bit each day. And you see them kind of like the life kind of decreasing, the relationships decreasing. We know this now because we have spaces where that isn't there and the kids are just vibrant, right? They've come back. So I think that for
Thank you
moms,
for your work in that.
it's been amazing because it wasn't even the intent, right?
Yeah.
But it's just how we're designed, right? How God designed us.
Yeah, I
So
sent my son to our last one. We took him out of public school, first two were in public school, but my youngest, his school was, no phones in the classroom, and it just fostered such a great experience for him for his education. So.
And the study just came out this week showing that children's well-being went up related
Clearly.
to phones not being in school. So for moms, and for parents in general, it's creating those spaces for, these products are not safe for your kids. You probably should just not have your kid have a cell phone at all, unless it's a dumb phone. So you want to create these safe spaces in your home where your kid's brain is not being just having dopamine hits all the time that is increasing their intelligence, or, I mean, decreasing their intelligence, impacting their relationships, all that kind of thing. So you really want to fight to create those spaces. And you also want to make sure the spaces they're going into are safe for them. So whether that's at school, are those products safe? Are they effective? That they're asking you to bring back into your home, whether it's a Chromebook or something like that. And then the third is to really kind of, get involved with, the parents have a responsibility here for sure, but the companies also have a responsibility to not have these industrial strength addiction machines pounding away at our children in a way that makes it hard for parents, makes it hard for kids just to increase engagement measurements for these companies. That's not okay. So I do think that all three of those things, kind of in your home, where your kids are going to, and then being engaged in pushing back in a corporate way, is good as well.
Yeah, and to your point too, a lot of conversation that we've had on this podcast is, you know, there are some, you have to be creative as a parent because, you know, your kids are going to want your phone. They're going to want to look at your phone. And, you know, some of the suggestions that we had, you know, I used to have a family phone, right? It used to be your phone at
Yes,
home,
right.
but you
The
have a
80s.
fan,
Back
right?
to the
Back to
80s. That's right.
the
Yes,
80s. A lot
right.
of people are putting the phones back in, by the way. They're putting in hard
Yeah.
lines again, which is very interesting. And there are also a couple of suggestions are, well, obviously having the safeguards on the phone when when your kids go to high school and when you decide to have it, no phones in their rooms, no phones after a certain time, a mirror, you know, and then there are some other safe phones and there's Bark and there's some different technology that you can put on when your kids are older, not young. But even having like a cell phone that's the family's cell phone. So it's on the counter, anyone can use it. Like you can still chat with your friends. You can say, hey, I'm on my way. You know, you still have this opportunity to text or call, but it's free and it's open and it's not someone's, you know, and there's different things like that. You just, as you know, moms will figure it out and we have to figure it out. And let alone the fact that it's a highway to pornography and just probably some of the most grotesque situations that any child could
Predators.
ever see, predators. And you know, what is it? I think now it's like 7, 8 year olds are the is the average age that someone sees pornography now on a phone. And sometimes it's not even the phone that your child doesn't have one, but you're on the school bus. I've heard just about everything that I can imagine on how these kids are seeing just the most terrifying things that just steal their innocence. So what can we kind of expect that some of your next goals are in Washington, and can we help support or be a part of anything that you're doing?
Yes, thank you. I know in Washington we've been very encouraged by the fact that Senator Cruz and Speaker Johnson have just announced in the last week that they want to move the Senate version of the Kids Online Safety Act. And this is a social media social media piece of legislation that actually will create a framework for protection for children. This has been in Congress for 3 years now, so we're very excited that they announced that in the last week and hope that that will happen the last 2 weeks and hope that that will happen pretty quickly. We're also working in a number of states on AI and social media, and so depending on the state, people should feel free to reach out to us at the Institute for Families and Technology on this as well. And then there is a push to actually create a moratorium on all state legislation related to artificial intelligence. We think that's a terrible idea. This is pretty much saying that states are not allowed to do anything on AI, including protect children. And that's something that I think we've effectively opposed and kept from happening, but it is something that is out there as a I think some of these companies don't like to have to comply with child protection rules, and so are trying to get the federal government to just make it so they don't have to. And I think that would be a mistake, and I don't think parents would put up with that. So that's the second piece on the federal level.
Yeah, like even in my mind, I just try to think of how do you protect the children in this ever-changing world, because it's hard to have a gate that's not always moving, you
Right.
know, and it's hard to combat some of these things when they're ever changing. So I know that you are in the fight to protect the kids, and I know that we as parents appreciate that, and that this is going to be ever changing. And like you said, in 6 months, a year, 5 years from now, we can't even imagine what kind of safeguards we would be now championing, because it's going to be new and it's going to be different and it's going to be a different world ever so much. So any closing comments for us
Yeah,
that keeps us
absolutely.
encouraged?
I mean, I think this first part will not be encouraging, but I think we'll look back 10 years from now, be horrified at this experiment that we let happen to our children. I think it's going to be, I think we'll just be shocked. But I also think it'll be from a place of having fixed it, because I'm just never going to bet against moms. I've met with too many of these groups, and I've met with any single passion. They don't have big organizations. They don't have a lot of money. I'm zooming with them while they're at knitting conventions or, whatever else. And they don't lose, and they will not be denied in protecting their children in this way. So I have no doubt what the outcome will be. And I'm very optimistic about that. And I've seen it happen many, many times, especially on the state level. So I'm very optimistic.
And I think to your point earlier, that we as parents, we have to just be very locked in and engaged on any kind of technology when we start to see anything changing or moving. And moms know, they know when the child starts becoming distant. They know when there's problems start becoming. I mean, I've heard of, when we talk about gender, even all this stuff all comes out from this phone and this whole new world of, the gender ideology message and the just changing, the completely radicalizing our children is coming from what they're seeing on social media. So it is a battle, but I know that moms are gonna fight that in their home and with their kids, and they're gonna figure out what works. And what I keep just saying to moms, just tell your kids you love them more than anyone, and no one in the whole entire world is going to protect you more than mom and dad. So just trust us. Just trust us. And it's not that simple, but it's not that difficult. And to the moms that are listening, you be encouraged. And no one is no one else is the greatest influence in your home than you and your family. And you keep staying diligent. And organizations like this are going to help us. Right, John?
Absolutely. All we can do. Yep.
Well, thank you for joining us. What a very interesting discussion. And we're going to be watching AI. We're going to be watching all of these aspects as they continue to grow, and we're going to protect our kids. That's the bottom line.
Thank you so much for having me on and for all the work you do.
That was a very informative interview with John. This is just a new world, moms, and we've got to be on our game. And we've got to be figuring this out step by step with our kids in our homes and in our country. So we appreciate the work that the Institute for Families and Technology are doing. And we will continue this discussion on a regular basis, as we know that technology is a very, very important aspect of our kids and of our culture. So thanks again. We so appreciate your time, John. All right, and to you moms, we so appreciate you joining us here at Moms for America. I do want to let everyone know that we have some amazing programs and resources that help support you in your journey through motherhood. You just go to momsforamerica.us and sign up for our information. We have webinars and seminars and pamphlets and all kinds of discussion, plus a whole library of podcasts. So please, please join our movement. We would love to help you as you navigate through this world. This current world and all the different challenges that we have as moms. All right, from parental rights to public policy and from the kitchen table to Congress, Moms for America has it all. We so appreciate you stopping by. We're the ultimate support group. Glad to have you with us today. And as always, let's keep changing our country one home at a time. Talk with you soon, moms. Thanks. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.